To hell with temporary unpopularity.
Wow. That's Charlie Munger for you, right?
Doesn't mince words.
No, he really doesn't. It's such a Munger quote, isn't it? Tells you a lot about his mindset from the get-go.
Absolutely. And it's the perfect way to kick off our deep dive today. Welcome, everyone, to the deep dive. We're digging into the essential wisdom from really fascinating sources.
And today, that source is Poor Charlie's Almanac, The Wit and Wisdom of Charles T. Munger, a truly remarkable collection.
That quote you mentioned about unpopularity, it just screams independence, doesn't it? Standing apart.
Completely. And that independence was, well, absolutely crucial to his partnership with Warren Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway. Decades of success built on that kind of thinking.
Yeah. For anyone listening who maybe isn't as familiar, Charles Munger, he wasn't your typical suit, was he? Vice chairman of Berkshire, Buffett's partner, but really known for this incredible mind.
A really profound, often contrarian thinker on investing, business, life, you name it.
And this book, The Almanac, it reflects that. It's not just another business book, is it? Not at all. It's unique. It pulls together his talks, essays, bits of biography. It's like concentrated Munger wisdom, much more than just finance tips.
Yeah, you've got acknowledgments, a foreword by Buffett, which is always worth reading Munger's own characteristically sharp replies to things.
Right. His rebuttals. And an intro by Peter Kaufman, transcripts of his talks, Q&As. It feels very personal. You get a real sense of his philosophy.
So for everyone tuning in, our mission here is pretty straightforward. We want to pull out the absolute core insights from this amazing collection.
Give you a quick but solid grasp of Munger's big ideas, business, investing, just navigating life, really. Those key aha moments, but without getting totally bogged down in detail.
Okay, let's jump right in then. The heart of his approach. What are those fundamental ideas that really define his success and the wisdom in the almanac?
Well, the absolute cornerstone, I'd say, is this relentless quest for worldly wisdom.
Worldly wisdom. Okay. So what does that mean in practice?
It means not staying in one little box. It's about pulling big ideas from, well, everywhere. History, psychology, physics, economics, all of it.
Ah, so connecting the dots between different fields.
Exactly. And then this is the crucial bit, actually changing your behavior based on what you learn. That quote about unpopularity, that's acting on your knowledge, even if it's not easy or popular.
Makes sense. And he didn't just talk about it, he lived it, right? That story about him living modestly.
Oh yeah, the living lesson in compounding. He consciously decided to skip the flashy stuff, showing the power of, you know, letting things grow over time, delayed gratification.
Compounding knowledge and habits. Not just money.
Precisely. Which leads straight into his big thing, mental models.
Right, I've heard about those.
He believed you need this latticework of fundamental concepts from different academic fields. It gives you a much stronger way to understand reality and make decisions.
Like having different tools in your mental toolbox.
Exactly. He even pushed for studying physics, interestingly enough.
Physics? Why physics?
Because he saw it as this beautiful example of sound theory, how fundamental principles can explain so much. Rigorous thinking.
Fascinating. Okay, so worldly wisdom, mental models, compounding. What else is core Munger?
Learning from mistakes is huge. He always stressed learning vicariously, if you can, from other people's screw-ups rather than your own. Much less painful.
Nice.
And patience, especially in investing. His famous line, right? The big money is not in the buying and selling.
Yeah.
But in the waiting.
Ah, yes, the waiting game. Patience as strategy. That really comes through. And wasn't he big on focus investing, too?
Absolutely. Don't spread yourself thin. Own fewer things, but understand them inside and out. Really know the business before you invest, and then stick with it.
Fewer, better bets, basically.
That's the idea. Deep understanding over broad, shallow coverage.
Okay, so we're getting a picture here. Deep thinker, independent, multidisciplinary, patient. Now let's dig into his background. Where did this mind come from? What shaped him?
Well, his early life has some interesting clues. He actually went to Caltech during World War II, studied meteorology for the Army Air Corps.
Meteorology? Really?
Yeah.
Weather forecasting.
Yep. Think about analyzing complex systems, dealing with probabilities, uncertainty. That probably sharpened his thinking right there.
Huh. Another unexpected field. Then he went into law.
That's right. Harvard law graduate.
Yeah.
Very prestigious. But he quickly figured out that the traditional lawyer path...
Yeah.
Maybe wasn't going to give him the kind of financial freedom he wanted.
So he started looking elsewhere, business ventures.
Exactly. He had that entrepreneurial itch early on, wasn't just going to follow the standard track.
And the Buffett connection, how did that happen, that legendary partnership?
That was 1959, a pivotal moment by all accounts. Buffett called them kindred spirits almost immediately.
Wow. Just clicked like that.
Apparently so. There's a story Buffett nearly mistook him for someone else, but Munger's wit won him over instantly.
Right.
We just got each other on an intellectual level.
A meeting of minds, for sure. And Munger was already investing successfully on his own before Berkshire, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. He ran his own investment partnerships before getting heavily involved with Berkshire. Got fantastic returns.
And those eventually became Berkshire stock.
That's right. Rolled into Berkshire. And, well, the rest is history, given Berkshire's growth. He always preferred staying out of the limelight, though, personally.
Despite the massive success, tells you something. Beyond business, though, he was also quite philanthropic.
Very much so. Long history supporting hospitals, schools, libraries, Good Samaritan Hospital, Harvard Westlake, Stanford, the Huntington Library.
And the Almanac itself supports that.
Yep. The proceeds went to the Munger Research Center at the Huntington. Fits perfectly with his whole emphasis on knowledge and learning.
A life well lived, it seems. Okay, let's switch gears slightly. Who is this book really for? Who benefits most from digging into Munger's thinking or listening to us talk about it now?
That's a really important question. I think the Almanac, and hopefully this deep dive, is valuable for, well, pretty much anyone who wants to make better decisions.
Not just investors or business people.
Definitely not. It goes way beyond that. It's about understanding how the world works, human behavior, incentives, stuff that applies everywhere. You don't need an MBA to get huge value from his ideas.
So it cuts across industries, roles, life in general.
Exactly. If you appreciate practical, smart advice delivered without jargon, maybe with a bit of dry humor, this is for you.
And for our listeners who are often busy, this deep dive is kind of that shortcut, right? Getting the essence without reading the whole thing cover to cover immediately.
That's the goal. Distill the core stuff, make it accessible and actionable.
Okay, actionable. Let's get into that. What are some of the really practical takeaways, things people can actually use from Munger's philosophy?
Well, one of the biggest, I think, is his focus on inversion, knowing what not to do.
Inversion, like thinking backwards.
Kind of. He argues that figuring out what to avoid is often more important than figuring out what to do brilliantly. Avoid biases. Avoid dumb mistakes. Avoid complexity where you don't need it.
So job one is just don't screw up.
Huh. In a way, yes. Build that negative checklist first. He also talks a lot about moats.
Economic moats, like castles.
Exactly. Sustainable competitive advantages. What protects a business from competitors over the long haul? Understanding and finding those moats is key to his investment approach.
Makes sense. Protects the long-term value. What about that weird analogy, the winning pari-mutuel player?
Yeah. Think horse race betting. The odds change based on what the crowd bets. The smart player looks for when the odds are wrong when a horse's chance of winning is way better than the odds suggest.
Okay. So how does that apply to investing?
Munger says you should look for businesses where the market price is way too low compared to the company's real value. Find those few great opportunities where the odds are strongly in your favor, and then bet meaningfully.
Don't bet often, but bet big when you see a mispriced opportunity.
You got it. It's about recognizing those rare moments. He was also huge on incentives.
Right, incentives. Show me the incentive and I'll show you the outcome.
That's the one. He believed getting incentives right is absolutely fundamental. The Federal Express example is classic.
Remind me of that one.
They couldn't get packages sorted reliably overnight. They paid workers by the hour. Then they switched to paying them per shift, but they could go home once everything was sorted.
So the incentive changed from logging hours to getting the job done fast and right.
Bingo. Overnight, the problems basically vanished.
Yeah.
Align rewards with the results you want. Seems obvious, but
often missed. You mentioned the bigger multidisciplinary bag of tricks earlier, too.
Yeah, that ties back to the mental models. The more models you have from different fields, the better you can tackle complex problems. You're not stuck with just one way of looking at things.
And telling people why. Why is that important?
Because people are more likely to buy in, to cooperate, to trust, if they understand the reasoning behind a decision or a request. Even if they don't get all the details, the why matters.
Builds trust and understanding. He also seems pretty realistic about bad behavior, unchartered and crooked behavior, he called it.
He was definitely a realist, understood human nature, knew that people might cheat or cut corners if the system allows it or incentivizes it badly.
So you need systems to guard against that.
Absolutely. Build in checks, balances, ethical frameworks don't just rely on goodwill. And related to inversion, he had that famous prescription for sure misery.
Right. Figure out how to guarantee a miserable life.
And then just avoid doing those things. It's a clever way to think about what actually leads to a good life.
Classic Munger. Okay, let's pull back the curtain a bit. Any stories or anecdotes from the books that give us a better feel for Munger, the person, behind the scenes?
Oh, the almanac is full of them.
Oh.
Like his punctuality, he wasn't just on time. He insisted on being early, showed respect, preparedness.
Well, little things like that. What about the Cardboard Charlie story?
Huh. Yes. Legendary. During the genre acquisition meeting, apparently Buffett brought a life-size cardboard cutout of Munger.
A cutout? Seriously?
Yep. With a little recording that just said, "I have nothing to add."
Mm-hmm.
And Buffett supposedly used it when he knew Munger would agree or had already made his point. Shows their dynamic, Munger's bluntness, and Buffett's respect for his judgment.
That's hilarious. It tells you a lot. What else?
His focus. When he got interested in something, people said his curiosity was just intense. Laser-like focus. Total immersion.
You also mentioned he helped his daughter's husband.
Yeah, during tough times, sent him to pharmacy school, helped him buy a business. She has a real loyalty and generosity, a belief in helping people get on their feet.
A strong sense of personal responsibility there. What about his self-awareness? There's that quote about getting old.
I've never grown old before. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it for the first time, and I'm not sure that I'll do it right.
Yeah, that's pretty humble for someone like him, isn't it?
It really is. Shows he kept learning, kept reflecting. Absolutely. And that willingness to be unpopular, to think independently. That's just a constant theme. It all circles back to that.
Independent thought, above all. So when he communicated these ideas in his talks or writing, what was his style like?
The Almanac captures it really well. He's engaging, often funny, actually. He uses great analogies, very direct language, makes complex stuff feel graspable.
Buffett praised his clarity, right?
Constantly.
Yeah.
Said Munger could just cut through the noise and get to the heart of the matter like nobody else.
Yeah.
Concise, eloquent, even when being blunt.
So not some dense academic slog to read.
Oh, not at all. It's intellectually sharp, for sure. But it's written or spoken, in the case of the talks, to be understood and applied.
Yeah.
Very direct.
And even though we're just talking about him, the way the book works, and hopefully this conversation encourages people listening to really think about it for themselves, right?
That's the idea. We're trying to prompt that reflection. How does this apply to me? How can I use these models? How do I avoid my dumb stuff?
Translating the wisdom into your own context.
Okay, so for everyone listening, definitely check out Poor Charlie's Almanac if this has piqued your interest. And what can people find in the show notes to follow up?
We'll pull out some of those key Munger quotes we've hit on. We'll also link to some resources if you want to read more about him, about Berkshire.
Good stuff.
And maybe pose a few questions like, which mental models resonate most? How can you use that inversion principle? Just some food for thought.
Excellent. Okay, as we wrap up this deep dive into Charlie Munger's incredible wisdom, what's one last, maybe provocative thought you want to leave everyone with?
I guess I'd circle back to that multidisciplinary idea. Ask yourself, are you really reaching outside your own field for ideas? Are you actively building that worldly wisdom Munger talked about?
Or are you stuck in one way of thinking?
Exactly. And are you brave enough to think independently, even if it means, you know, temporary unpopularity?
Powerful questions indeed. A lot to chew on there. Thanks so much for walking us through all this.
My pleasure. It's always fascinating revisiting Munger. And to everyone listening, we hope this deep dive has given you some valuable insights and maybe a useful shortcut into the brilliant mind of Charles T. Munger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Until next time.